Hello and welcome to Hoop Collective Podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we're doing on Tuesday evening. Joining me from San Francisco, California, where he's on the road with the New Orleans Pelicans, is Andrew Lopez. What's up, man?
How are you, sir?
Out there on the West Coast with the Red Hot Pelicans, five in a row, and I'm sure by recording this pod ahead of their game against the Warriors tonight. Okay, look, let's just acknowledge something. The Warriors are awesome at home. Maybe they'll bang up the Pelicans, who are playing on a back-to-back. Doesn't mean that the Pelicans haven't played great recently. Can we all agree to that, Grouse Ground Rules?
We can agree. We will not talk about the Pelicans' opponents during this stretch, but we can agree that they have played very well.
Okay. And that is the laugh of Anscape's Mark J. Spears, who's joining us from across the bay in Oakland. Hello, Mark.
And Andrew's been complaining about the weather since he's
yeah, got man. Say, man, look, whenever you come to New Orleans, I make sure you have great weather.
Great.
Blue skies.
What's your definition of great?
I get flight delays and rain all day. This is not great, man.
I did get an 80 degree sun last week, and I didn't know what to do with it.
See? This is how you repay me.
If Louisiana would have sent delay. Us some of its rainwater, we wouldn't be in this situation, right? So we're trying to get out of drought country.
I think
we are at this point.
Speaking of out of drought country, the Pelicans, how'd you like that twist? You like that, pivot?
Oh, look at you.
The Pelicans, who they won five in a row. Now you're denigrating their opponents, Andrew, and I think you're just trying to be responsible. In the Western Conference, any five-game winning streak means you don't have to say you're sorry.
Correct.
So Brandon Ingram is playing some of the best basketball, certainly his best of the season, right? He just won player of the week, had another good game Monday night in Portland against the dregs of the Blazers. And the Pelicans, they were as low as, did they go as low as 13th?
They were 12 for sure. I'm not sure if they touched, they possibly touched 13th. I think at one point they may have though. I think after the Rockets lost, they were around there, at least tied.
Okay. Well, at the moment they are in eighth and they're basically percentage points away from being in sixth. If they win tonight, it would be incredible because Golden State is ahead of them by six 1/1000ths of a point. Basically they have one more win, the same number of losses, the half.
They would swap spots tonight if the Pelicans were to win.
So, first off, before we talk about Zion, other than Brandon Ingram getting hot after really having a lot of this season affected by injury, what has been going right for the Pelicans to kind of roar back from the dregs here?
Well, let's go back to about 2 weeks ago when they had a home game against the Lakers on March 14th. And LA came in without LeBron and just blew their doors off. And it was one of those games where they had also struggled against, I think, OKC three nights before, beat a Portland team that Dame sat for, you know, the first time, I think, when he was starting to sit out. But they had a very, very poor performance against Oklahoma City, a very, very poor performance against the Lakers. And they had 2 days off before they played Houston for the first time. And they had a back-to-back in Houston. They had several meetings. Starting after that Lakers loss, about getting the ship righted and getting things corrected. There was some talk in the locker room after the Lakers game that night. Practice the next day, the players met again. I think it was Friday was when the first game in Houston was. Willie Green had a small meeting with, I think it was himself, CJ McCollum, Larry Nance, and Garrett Temple. You would consider the leaders of this team. And they kind of hashed some stuff out. And Brandon Ingram has talked about it. He said, you know, the accountability was there, starting with yourself and then moving on to other guys. And Willie's kind of credited that. Now, it didn't work the first day. They went out against the Rockets and lost on a three-pointer Jabari Smith hit at the buzzer. I think the Rockets had like a 22-0 run in that game at some point. The Pels got back up by 16 or 15. And then lost it in the fourth quarter. But Willie didn't let them kind of get down on that after that, because he still felt they did what they wanted to do. One of that was put the ball in Brandon Ingram's hands more. As Mark has noted in CJ McCollum's diary several times this year, CJ's dealing with a thumb injury, a ligament injury in his thumb that has made passing more difficult, that it's made shooting more difficult. He's kind of adjusted to that with a smaller splint. But he was running the offense, and it's like, let's kind of take some of the pressure off of him, put it on to Brandon. And I think the second thing, and probably the more important thing, is they're using Jonas Valanciunas as a calming presence, if you will, on the offensive end. They're throwing it down to him, and they're saying, look, if the offense is kind of getting out of whack for a little bit, get it to the big fella, and let's go on from there. They bounced back with the win against Houston. They came back and beat San Antonio and Charlotte. So, again, when I talk about the opponents, it's Houston, San Antonio, Charlotte. Now, they had one really good game against the Clippers. Herb Jones had one of the best defensive performances I think I've seen on Kawhi, especially this season. And Brandon was clicking in that game as well. And then they come back and they beat, as you talked about, the, you know, what was left of the Portland Trailblazers last night or on Monday. So, but I think that the notable thing here is they're doing it against the teams they're supposed to be doing it against. And that hasn't been like that since Zion had left in early January. There were hiccups in these games, and they've kind of admitted, look, there were probably other times where we lose these games. But getting it to Brandon, who you mentioned was Western Conference Player of the Week, allowing CJ to play off the ball a little bit more, and when they do their subs, he's kind of still off the ball a little bit. But it's basically a point Brandon. And then getting the ball to JV, who I think is averaging 20 and 15 during this six-game stretch here.
Yeah, Jackson, our producer, just said over the last three games, Brandon has 27 assists and 5 turnovers.
I think a lot of those came last night. I think he had 4 last night. I think and the one before that, I think in the Clipper game, I think it was a walk. He had a stretch of, I think, 3 games where he had 30 assists and 0 passing turnovers. There was the only turnover he had was a walk, or I think 2 offensive fouls, something like that. But I mean, he's been great with his decision making, and I think you mentioned he's playing the best basketball certainly of the season. I dare say it's the best basketball he's played in the Pelicans uniform in these last 6 games.
Yeah, I mean, so look, they beat the Rockets and Spurs to start the situation, but the Rockets game came right after the Rockets had just won like 3 home games against
Celtics, Lakers, and then them on the Jabari 3.
So then it was a home and home. It was a baseball series in Houston. So they win that. Then they beat the Spurs at home. Okay, they beat the Charlotte Hornets at home. Like, okay, but the Hornets just beat the Mavericks 2 in a row. So I can't disregard that. Well, and the win in LA.
It was also a Hornets team that finished the game with somehow 6 players, it felt like, or 7 healthy players because of 3 absences during the middle of that game. But that team did bounce back and beat the Mavericks. You were correct.
Yeah. So Spears, like I don't know how potent they are, but let's just remember at one point this season, this team was in 2nd place.
Yeah.
And the Zion, and then they lost 10 in a row.
Yes. Andrew? Yeah. 10 in a row. They were in first at one point, I think earlier in December, but 23 and 12 in 2nd. That was kind of their peak. Lose to Zion, gets hurt January 2nd, and then the wheels kind of fell off from there. But the streak has put them back on. Like, I mean, the Western Conference, like you mentioned, any win is a win right now. And if you go on a 4 or 5 game winning streak, you could jump from 12 to 6, just like they have the chance to do right now.
So Spears, like, you've been doing a diary with CJ McCollum and, yeah, you know, keeping in touch with him. So you've been there along the way here. You know, and obviously you spend a lot of time in New Orleans, so it's sort of like your second team, so to speak. It's been a season for the Pelicans. And last year, their kind of year was defined by really rallying late, winning their way into the play-in. And I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say they could do it again, but could they do it again?
Yeah. No, it's funny. I'm looking at the exact date. So I went to the New Orleans beat up on San Antonio for their second straight win in this stretch. And then on March 22nd, the next day, they had practice. So I sat down with CJ after practice. We're in their little like team dining room and everything. And so CJ's talking to me about the diary. And all of a sudden he looks at the screen and NBA Today's on. And it says, the sound is off. He's looking at the screen. And it has Pelicans' next 10 games. And the chances of them winning by percentage points. And it says the Pelicans are expected to win 3 of their next 10 games, right? He sees this, picks up on it real quick, and goes, oh, y'all only think we're going to win 3 games, huh? And I was like, you know, hey, that's, you know, the schedule looks tough, right? Like, so yeah. It's interesting because with this diary, just kind of some inside baseball with it. Like was scheduled to go back out there on April 7th, right? To, you know, kind of wrap things up. And at that time, I think that the kind of consensus was that, you know, that was going to be the last home game. It looks like that was going to be the end of the road. But of course, the Western Conference is crazy. It's wild. And, now we are where we are, and so now my mentality is, shoot, this team could be in the play-in. They could be in the postseason. Let's see what happens. But now, I mean, the real Pelicans are going to, like, be tested. Like, yeah, they have Golden State and then Denver and the Clippers again and Sacramento and Memphis and New York and Minnesota. Woo.
Look, I'll tell you what.
The easy battles are over the rest of the way. They got like teams playing for something the rest of the way. And so I'm real, real curious to see how they handle this stretch, how they fight through this stretch. And if they could get through this, they're certainly deserving to get into postseason.
Right. Okay. So yeah, let's talk about the next 4 games. Did you mention that already, Andrew? And I missed it. Next 4 games.
Spears had just mentioned it. Spears just went through the rest of the schedule. And,
okay.
I mean, it's at Golden State. It's at Denver. At Golden State, at Denver, and then the home stretch is not very easy. It's Clippers, Memphis, Clippers, Sacramento, Memphis, New York, and then you finish up at Minnesota, which the at Minnesota game could be a massive game.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the Wolves here in a minute.
For tiebreaker, for, you know, play in or play out. Like, are you 6? Are you 7? Are you 8 or not? Like, do you get 2 chances? Whatever it's going to be. So, it is a tough stretch here, and I do think, again, we talked about the opponents in this 5-game winning streak, but I do go back to the Clipper game, and they went wire to wire against the Clippers. Obviously, no Paul George, but Kawhi again. Kawhi had one of his worst shooting games of his career that night. I think he was 1 of 8 against Herb. You know, bring back the knot on Herb.
How would you say that? Because I feel like for the bulk, you know, Herb didn't play his best early in the season. I know he had an injury.
Yeah,
there was a lot of excitement about him after last season, including by me. But it's sort of been recently that he's much, you know, he's sort of come back into the guy we saw last year.
Yeah, he has been – look, if you look at his shooting numbers, it's kind of funny. I think his counting stats, his points, rebounds, assists, all that is pretty much the same. His numbers have dipped shooting-wise. I think he's shooting 30 – he was close to – he was like 33-7, right under 34, I think, on threes last year. He's like 28-29% right now. He started to shoot it better recently. He started to look more like the defender he was last year, the not on Herb, all of that stuff. He had a great game against Portland and a great game against the Clippers. I think when he did come back from his earlier injury, he was kind of trying to fight through some stuff. Maybe in the last month or so, he's kind of felt like himself. And you've seen, you know, the guy that Drew, you know, who many thought should have been on the, you know, all defensive team last year as a rookie. But he's getting back to that form now. But I think the kind of some of the shine has worn off because the shooting numbers have dipped. And, you know, people are just treating him as a non-shooter. And they started moving him around. There was a stretch where they played him as a small ball 5 for a little bit. And I think that really kind of got him going. I think that was when Larry Nance was out with the ankle injury. So they had to go to some smaller lineups, and it worked out. And I think that kind of gave him a little bit of his juice back. And he's looking like the guy who the Pels relied on last year.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help you find a winning formula for success. And you'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts. Now let's talk about the play of the week, the pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Yeah, so, okay. So, Spears, let's deal with the Zion issue here. When they were in second place in the conference, it was when Zion was playing very well. They said, Lopez, they said he would be reevaluated in 2 weeks, which allowed, technically allowed for a window that he could potentially come back for the last couple games and then any postseason.
Correct. April 5th is the reevaluation date. They play Memphis that night, second night of a back-to-back. And then there's the New York home game and the Minnesota away game.
Okay, he's probably not going to play in that that night. Spears, what do you do about this?
But let me know. It's interesting because I was at the press conference or the briefing by Coach Green, and I don't know what's been said since, but there was actually a guy I like told him afterwards. That was a really good question. I was like, he's like, so the date that comes, you guys have a game, and Andrew, you might remember who the guy's name was.
It was Les East, my former professor at Loyola University, who now writes for Crescent City Sports, among other places that you can find his work. But it was Les's question.
Shout out to Les, man, because I was like, that was a good question, but I don't want to mess up the question. What did he say?
He basically asked him, hey, reevaluation date is April 5th. Is it possible the reevaluation means he could play that night? And Willie kind of basically just said, hey, I don't want to say anything, but it's a possibility we can see. So obviously he didn't rule it out, but they're obviously leaving the door open for him to come back. And I think, you know, especially if it would, you know, those games are going to mean something now. We've watched him kind of, he's starting through his, getting kind of back on the, going through his training and starting to do some things. You know, you see him kind of hanging around at Shoot Around, working with trainers, you know, doing the stuff like that. But, you know, they didn't shut the door on him coming back for that night. But, you know, Willie wasn't exactly jumping to confirm
it. So you say there's a chance. He didn't. He could easily shut that down. But
yeah, the guy is already, he is, unfortunately, his injuries have been defined a little bit by setbacks.
Yeah.
And he had a pretty significant setback on this hamstring injury. He's now missed at least, he's now missed at least as much time since the setback as the first injury, right? Or even more.
Correct.
Right, Lopez?
Correct. The first injury happened January 2nd. The setback happened the week before the Super Bowl. So that was really like a 5 to 6 week window. So by the time you get to the reevaluation,
like 7 weeks from now, 7 or 8 weeks.
Right. Yeah. You're looking at 8 weeks from the reevaluation.
Okay.
Day
almost. So Spears, what are they going to do about this? I mean, like, they're not winning the title this year, I don't think, but like, this is sort of the same situation LeBron was looking. You know, LeBron went through his whole thing where he was like, look, I saw the LeBron James of feet, and he pretty much made it sound like he came back because he realizes that the Lakers have a chance to do something. Now, he's 38 years old. Okay. He is not, you know, in his early 20s like Zion is. Yeah. But Zion obviously has to protect himself. But the Pelicans can obviously see, like, if they catch heat at the right time and they go back to that version of the team that they were early in the season, like, you could talk yourself into something here.
No, so I think the difference between, there's a lot of difference between him and LeBron, obviously, but right. LeBron's played in the postseason a lot of games, right?
Yeah.
Is he the all-time leading scorer in the postseason?
I think he is. Yeah. Yep. I think he reached that a while
Zion
ago.
Zion has yet to play in a postseason game.
Right.
So if he could come back, even if it's at a minute's limit, even if it's 20 minutes a game off the bench, and he could help them get into the playoffs and play in the postseason, I think it does wonders for him. I think it does wonders for the fans in New Orleans, for the franchise. Yes, you don't want to risk things at this point, but they could have easily gave him a Jose Alvarado, you know, and he's 3 weeks and he looks like he's done. To me, for them to give that 2 week thing, I'm, you know, maybe guessing here, but perhaps they're saying if it matters, he got 3 games to get ready for the playoffs, and at that time the chances looked slim. So I don't know what crystal ball they were looking at, but I do think it would be regardless of whether they make it or not. If he could play in those last 3 games to try to, like, at least help him get into a play-in, I think that would be tremendous.
Considering the past history, Andrew, of, like, the Zion return situations and how they've stepped in it with it, I would assume that there was a fair amount of analysis being done and thought put into them saying 2 weeks when there was 2.5 weeks left.
Yeah, so they knew the timing of it. They knew what they were doing. They knew they were leaving the window open. But to Mark's point, to his credit, the kid wants to play. He wanted to play through the foot injury last year, and they didn't because of, you know, it was a team effort. Look, we're not going to play. We don't want to ruin it. We don't want to, you know, risk anything. Go back to the dunk against Phoenix. The windmill 360 with no time left that everybody was talking about, right? He said it after the game. I shouldn't have done it. But in his words, they put my team out the playoff. They put my guys out. He wants that atmosphere. He wants to be in that situation. And
yeah, he's always been clear about that. Always.
He wants to play. And if he is able to and help his team in the playoffs, it hurt him that he wasn't in that 6-game series against the Suns last year.
Yeah, and he was trying, you know, he was posting that stuff on social. Oh, he was trying to play. Yeah.
He was lobbying.
And I just remember seeing him sitting courtside for those games and the smile. I mean, he has a magnetic smile, you know. Zion's smile it's one of the league's best smiles. I remember him seeing him. He was really into that moment. So I'm sure he wants to. I'm sure he wants to. Yes, I'm sure the Pelicans are going to take some losses in this next 4 games, probably. But they've given themselves a little bit of cushion that they didn't have before this.
Correct. Absolutely.
And look, Brandon Ingram, when he is playing at the top of his game, I have said this, he is as every bit as hard to stop as anybody in the league. He is like, you know, Kevin Durant's little brother, because when he gets going with that shot, you really can't defend it. So,
and he's a real three-level scorer. We've seen some of the finishes where he's laying it up and you're like, okay, he's jumping from like right below the free throw line. He's going to try to like shoot it around him, and it somehow he lays it in. And you're like, oh yeah, I forgot. He's got like 10-foot arms. Like, I forgot about that for a second. And it just, he is playing more free, I think, than he ever has. And that is, again, going back to the reasons why they're on this streak, and again, opponents aside, It's letting Brandon play free. It's getting the ball to JV and working him inside out.
Okay, so the other team in the West that is making a move right now, a late move, sort of coming out of the morass, is Minnesota Timberwolves. The Timberwolves have won four in a row. And Spears, you were at the game Monday night. This was going to be a glorious moment in Sacramento basketball. If they win, it was not just a win. It was also the win over Minnesota because they were going to push Minnesota back. If they had won, they would have clinched their first playoff. I mean, they're going to get in, but they would have clinched it and they would have done it at home. And there was like this excitement level. And the Wolves are playing on the second night of a back-to-back after getting a terrific win in Golden State. And Towns is not playing on back-to-backs yet because of his calf. They're just protecting it. And they go in there in that environment where the Kings have been terrific all year long, and they win. And I can't equate it to a playoff win. It's as big of a win for the Wolves as they've had since they won that kind of unofficial playing game against the Nuggets a few years ago, I think. Yeah. It wasn't like Anthony Edwards went for 45. Anthony Edwards played an average to below average game. He didn't shoot the ball well. They had seven guys, I think, in double figures. Spears, what was that environment like on Monday?
Well, it had the makings of a party. It's like all these big people party. Showed up for yeah. this big party. And there were not only people in the arena, but there were people outside filling up all the little restaurants and whatnot, ready to party. There were interviews taking place before the game with different fans. And, you know, the legendary radio guy who's just done 3,000 games, he's doing interviews. Like, I talked to Brad Miller. Like, like all these interviews are being, you know, because, like, the expectation is that it gets done. And so I'm on the docket. You know how it goes, guys. I got a story.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to go. I gotta, you're kings. They're telling me if they win, I get a walk-off interview afterwards. Here are the four players we're looking at, and then they want me to do a rap for the next morning Sports Center, which is like a voiceover story, right? So I'm in a suit. Brian, how long you know me?
20 years.
Yeah. You've seen me in suits before, right?
You have very nice suits.
So according to Rudy Gobert, like, something was really special about my suit yesterday that he did not like.
Well, you know if it was a special suit or not, Spears. You know your suit rotation. Was it a special suit? Let's be honest.
I mean, it might be a suit I might wear in the finals because, you know.
Okay, well.
Like, you know what I mean? But, I mean, and then Lopez is going to text you. He's like, yeah, Spears didn't wear no suit to the Warriors game. But so Rudy comes up to me and he goes, it's a real nice suit you got on. I'm like, thank you. He's like, why are you wearing that suit?
I love this.
I said, I'm working. And he puts his hands on my shoulders. He goes, we're going to win the game tonight. And he walks away. And I was like, Swagger. No. I'm like, they're motivated. They're like, they're not winning on our watch, man.
I just see it like on the whiteboard and like Finchy like writes on the whiteboard like Mark Spears is wearing a suit. Let's get it.
Spears has a final suit on.
he was like, you didn't just wear that suit because you felt like wearing that suit today. You got something playing with that suit.
This is spectacular because he's complimenting you, right? Because he's saying that's a really nice suit.
Yeah.
But he's also like needling you.
Yeah, he's astute. He's very astute. He's like, you didn't just wear that suit because you felt like wearing that suit. It's a little different for right now. I've seen you in several places this year. You didn't wear a suit like that. So I guess he was right. And after the game, man, I was in that locker room. And there was a lot of ish being talked. A lot of confidence, a lot of bravado. I think they feel like, okay, we got Cat back. And I heard this like discussion, like Anthony Edwards is the best, bro. I love that.
He's going to be a major, major force. I mean, when people get to know him better. Oh, yeah.
Oh my goodness. And he was messing with like the locker room hands. Who y'all got to guard Cat, bro? He didn't even play tonight. Who you got to guard Cat, bro? He didn't even play.
Like the Kings, because like there's obviously Kings employees who were helped the visiting locker room. Right. He's, you know,
right. And he's like asking them, like, he ain't play and we won, you know. Because I think they're very well knowledgeable of the fact that
3-6.
And I hate to say this, Kings fan, but teams are starting to target you.
They have been.
That number six seed. They want to play the Kings. They don't have faith in the Kings. They believe that they're going to be a one-hit wonder, get in and get out. And yesterday didn't help. And it was excruciating to watch for the Kings fans because they've been waiting for this moment since Saturday. The Kings did what they needed to do Saturday. And one of their great equipment manager, he started crying in the hallway. Right.
Mm.
And so there also, I talked to Matina, who's their COO. She told me Sunday night, she started crying, just thinking about everything they've overcome. Warriors lose. They don't get in yet. Saturday night. No, you know, it's really on the Kings though. You know, the other two scenarios don't work.
Right.
Nope. Lose, man. The curse of Rudy Gobert. And it was just like they felt like they were Charlie Brown, man. Yeah, they felt like they were Charlie Brown and somebody moved the football on them, man. They're like,
well, see, that's the thing though. Like, on one hand, I'm like, enjoy it to their fans, enjoy it to their longtime employees. Like, there's not that many moments in the NBA where you can have this feeling.
Yeah.
So feel it. Like, you know, we were talking about the Pelicans.
But Brian, they wanted to celebrate, man. They wanted to.
I know.
They wanted
that's
to
what
take
I'm saying,
over
Spears,
David Stern
because
Street. They wanted to take over K Street. They wanted to party so bad. And it's like, they know that this team is going to go to Portland, who's got like a G League team playing right now. And it's going to happen, right? Perhaps it happens at the Warriors game tonight. But this could have been their party. This could have been their statement. This could have been their day. This could have been for sure.
No, I get it.
And now it's going to happen, but it's like showing up to your like Christmas party and somebody stepped on your presents. The presents are still there, but they're not how, you know, you expect to open them.
That's why people are targeting them. And I'm not saying that you can't party when you make the playoffs and then excel in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But that's why people are targeting them. You know, like I was at the Cavs game on Sunday. They beat the Rockets and clinched their playoff spot for the first time for this group that they've clinched a playoff spot. And for the franchise, the first time in a non-LeBron year since 1998. Now, obviously there was a lot of LeBron years, a lot of playoffs. It wasn't like they were in a drought like Sacramento, but the point is that the franchise accomplished something. And this group of guys, you know, Darius Garland, Isaac Okoro, even Ricky Rubio, who was there and came back, Mobley, who they've been good since he's been there, but you know, he takes some ownership of it. Those guys, you know, 2 years ago, they won 22 games.
Yeah.
So, when it was over, the Cavs tweeted out the huddle when JB Bickerstaff brought him together, and he congratulated him. He said, "We got more work to do." And Donovan Mitchell came in the middle of the huddle and said, "Hey, 3 seeds, 2 games away." And like they celebrated, like they enjoyed it. They acknowledged their accomplishment. And now it's, it's a game and a half away because the Sixers lost to the Nuggets. But I don't know if they're going to get the 3 seed. My point is like they were focused on that. So I want the Kings to celebrate, but I also want to recognize.
But you got to remember, this is 17 years.
I agree.
That's why
I agree.
So
celebrate.
Painful to watch
celebrate.
These people
but that's
like
why the,
slowly
but that's
walk
why
out of
the other locker room.
Man.
That's why the other locker room, they're talking trash because they feel like they can get them. That's like, it's both is real. But anyway, on the Wolves. So obviously Cat coming back has been huge. He made a free throw that won him a game against Atlanta. Then they go to Golden State. He had a late three pointer that basically made a huge difference in that game. So having Cat back, and like, by the way, it's hardly a surprising situation that kid that, you know, an all NBA player would come back and your team would improve. But the, you know, Mike Conley has been really good for them, which again is not surprising. That was a very significant trade that happened where they sent out Russell and got Mike Conley back as part of Utah being in the middle. And
more Hoop Collective podcast after this.
Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Was exactly the type of player they needed. And, you know, talking to some folks in the organization, they knew Conley would come in and be a playmaker because that's one thing that they didn't really have. D'Angelo Russell is a scorer. He's not an elite playmaker. He can be an elite scorer. They kind of had a playmaker with Patrick Beverley last year and Beverley left. And they didn't really replace that. Conley comes in and because of the injuries that they had, Conley needed to score a little bit more. And he did. He was able to come in and score. Now, Conley has scored throughout his career, but like he really gave them an injection of scoring that they really needed at the time they needed it. And the other thing that's happened with their team is they've been very impressed with how resilient they've been. So there was a game that started this current streak that they're on. They lost to the Bulls in double overtime. It was a real bad loss. And Torian Prince made a terrible mistake in that game, a turnover in overtime. And so he was really down. He came back a few days later and had one of the best games of his career in the Garden when the Knicks were super hot and they win in the Garden. And I was talking to someone in the organization. They brought up Jaden McDaniels, who has been having a really good year for them. So he played against the Warriors on Sunday, played one of the worst games of his career. Certainly was worst games of the season. He played 10 minutes, got five fouls in 10 minutes, didn't make a shot. I think he made one free throw and he was like minus seven or eight. Like it was like a miserable game. They survived it, but he was, you know, absolutely terrible. And he comes back in Sacramento when they need more because, you know, Towns is out. And he has a terrific game. I think he had 20 points.
The leading scorer, I think.
Yeah, I think so. He had 20 points.
The leading scorer in that game.
Yeah. So, like, they're seeing stuff like that happen. That, and, of course, in addition to Conley coming, in addition to getting Karl Towns back, those kind of things that are happening. And also, you know, Chris Finch, he has really tried to keep Naz Reid involved. Because when Towns came back, Naz Reid's numbers, his minutes went down. But Finch has like worked hard to keep Naz Reid like in the rotation as much as he can because they really like him. It's going to be a unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. It might be, you know, I know that they've had extension talks with him, you know, in the past. I don't know. They obviously couldn't come to terms. He might be an interesting guy that teams who are looking for a starter may think might be a starter quality player. We'll see. But anyway, he had 18 points and, you know, I remember being, I was with the Wolves in training camp when they had a lot of high expectations and then they obviously had a horrible start to the season. And you know, the Gobert experiment wasn't working early on and then Towns got hurt. And I remember being with them at a game in Los Angeles, I think it was in December and they were just in a kind of a dark place and, but Finch, you know, from talking to folks around the team, Finch has remained upbeat. with the players. He's never let them, you know, even when they've been in trouble, he's never sort of backed down. He stayed sending the same messaging throughout the entire time. And it's been, you know, Lopez, it's been a big thing for them. And, you know, I could see you in Minneapolis on the last day of the season that Sunday, figuring out whether, you know, which of these teams could be a Cinderella story.
Yeah. I, like I said earlier, that is going to be a massive game. And it's also obviously Chris Finch was a former Pelicans assistant. He was always a great offensive mind, but getting, I think you mentioned Naz Reid, and I think Naz is what he scored in 14 or more, 15 or more, 12, I think double digits at least in the last seven games, a couple of three or four 20-point games in that stretch. And he's still doing it in only playing 22, 23 minutes a game. They're just leaning into him, just kind of letting him go, letting him fly. He's, you know, the other night, the Golden State game, he had, you know, 17 shots in 21 minutes. But he scored. And I think he is just finding a groove right now, putting up numbers. And everything is starting to kind of get back. And I think they are, like you said, they're confident because Ant's going to get back to what he was, they hope. You add Cat back. You mentioned, you know, you add an all-NBA player back to your lineup and all of a sudden, you know, hey, things look better. Which is, I think, what New Orleans is also hanging on to right now is if you can add a guy who is the all-star starter at, you know, averaging 26-7, you throw him back into a lineup and then all of a sudden you look like a team who is, you know, number one or number two in the West in December. So, that game itself also has tiebreaker implications. They've only played twice this year. This is one of the three-game series in the West.
Yeah.
That game is, I mean, it could decide a lot of things for seeding, for, like I said, who's in the play-in, who's out the play-in, where things go, if you have the extra game, if you have to go home first. And, you know, might be a situation where, you know, I show up on April 9th and I'm there on April 11th for a play-in game. I mean, it could be the same situation. So yeah. It is going to be a massive game.
So Spears, the Wolves finish this road trip in Phoenix on Wednesday night, where Kevin Durant will make his return after 3.5 weeks or so out with that freak ankle injury that he had right before he's going to make his home debut. That's a big game because obviously Durant's first game, they're going to be an emotional game there. The Wolves were able to get up and ruin the Kings' emotional game. Now this will be an emotional game for Durant and the fans there. Durant's only played three games. He got traded like February 7th or 8th, like was around midnight, whatever it was. He's only played three games in, you know, a little under 2 months, basically. There's seven games left. The Suns have been able to cling on to the fourth seed, which would be home court. They're barely hanging on to it, but now they get Durant back to face the Wolves. I think the Suns have seven games left. Five of them are at home. One road game at the Thunder, one road game at the Lakers. They have two games left with the Nuggets, both of them at home. It's one of those weird schedule things. The Nuggets have not been to Phoenix yet in late March. They have still not been to Phoenix. So they
play there once or twice.
They play there twice in the next, they play there twice in a week, starting on Friday.
Wow.
So Wolves Wednesday, then the big one with the Nuggets on Friday. They have a game with the Spurs at home. I like their chances in there. Most importantly, they don't have any back-to-backs left. So there wouldn't be any issue. Like, you know, you're worried about Chris Paul playing in back-to-backs. DeAndre Ayton just came back from a hip injury. You wouldn't be worried about him playing any back-to-backs. Actually, I take that back. They have one back-to-back left. I screwed that up. The second night is in Los Angeles. But anyway, the Suns, you know, this is Durant's situation. I don't know what you think that Durant can do. I was very impressed with them, but it was a small sample size.
Yeah. And they were 3-0, right?
They were 3-0. Durant shot 60-something% in those three games.
Yeah.
And pretty much instantaneously fit in beautifully. They had that great win in Dallas, which, you know, Dallas hasn't played great since then, but
yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, like, with Durant, they've looked amazing, but we got to also give Devin Booker his props, man. He's been Devin Booker has been sensational. And so those two guys together, now you got DA back. I just think for them, it's just fine-tuning until they get to the playoffs and holding on to that four seed. You know, if they could hold on to that, that certainly would be great for them. But one thing that looked like before when Kevin was playing with them those three games, just like he had been playing with them all season.
I know.
Maybe it was the, you know, Monty factor, the fact that he and Monty go back to their Thunder days and have a connection there. And maybe it's from playing with some of those guys at USA Basketball, right? But, I mean, he looked like he belonged.
They were in a great mood. He, like Booker and he were just, both of those guys don't like to put their emotions on their sleeve, Booker and KD. They were floating on air for that week that they played together.
And there's like no ego or drama between the two. Like, I think Chris Paul basically told Book, like, look, man, you get to play with Kevin Durant, like milk this situation, milk him, learn as much from him as you can, and let's go, right? And so the West is just it's kind of getting healthy at the finally, it seems. Like the Wiggins situation is still in the air. I don't know if we'll see Wiggins. I don't know what's going on there, so I'm not even going to speculate. But KD's back. LeBron is back. Hopefully Zion gets back. I just hope that going into the last weekend of the regular season, this Western Conference is as healthy as possible. Obviously, PG probably won't be back. Yeah. But
I saw Paul George kind of absolved Lou Dort, you know, was sort of a Lou ran into him and, you know, buckled his knee back. But he just said, and I didn't think Lou. Look, it's not my knee, but I didn't think Lou was trying anything there. No. So.
But I just like think about all the great basketball we've missed because of injuries.
Yeah.
So many like heavyweight fights that we've missed. So I want to see Zion back. I don't want, you better get the right ball boys on KD's side of the court. I want to see the Western Conference at its best because right now it's just really, really fun to watch.
And you mentioned teams. Sorry, you mentioned teams trying to get to six. Okay, because we see Sacramento sitting right there.
Yeah.
Well, also that means if you were five, or in that 5-4, which it's not that far away. I think what Phoenix is a half game up on the Clippers for fifth, a game and a half up on Minnesota and Golden State. Yeah, I don't think teams really want to play Phoenix in the playoffs right now, especially in that first round with the KD coming back. If you had to pick one of those two, I think most teams would rather, you know, get to the six so we can be out of the play.
Ain't no easy road, no matter where you go, man.
You're gonna have
especially with everybody.
You're gonna have a fight on this corner. You're gonna have a fight on this corner in this alley. Like you can run, but at some point you're gonna find a dude with a fist and a switchblade waiting to get you. Right, like.
Well,
good luck
two notes
away from this fight.
Very good. Two notes before we go. One, Jeff Stotts from In Street Clothes, who tracks all NBA injuries. He said that games lost to injury or illness passed the 5,000 mark. Wow. Not counting the bubble season. That's the fifth straight year that had occurred. 5,000 games total missed due to illness or injury. All the players. And it only happened once between 2005 and 2017. And it's happened five in a row. The bubble season actually was down because there was a lot fewer games. But it probably would have happened that year too. And then you mentioned how good Booker was playing, Spears. I looked up his numbers real quick. Since the All-Star break, 15 games, 31.6 points per game, 55% shooting overall, 39% on three, 85% at the line. So 39.
Games, but if he ain't all NBA, it's a travesty.
Yeah, well, the issue there is, so he's played 48 games.
I don't know. This dude's been a monster when he played, man.
I know.
he's been an absolute monster.
There's another media member. So Bontemps is putting together the straw poll. It's going to come out later this week. As a media member that I've known for a long time, and we were just texting back and forth today, and he was speaking about the MVP award, and he was just like, you know, really touting Jokic, because he's like, you know, Embiid and Giannis are going to play 60 some games. He's like, Jokic is going to play, you know, mid to high 70s. You know, he's like, well, what are you talking about? You know, how could you not go for Jokic? And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, it's true. Like, but his games played the be all end all. Some people will be. Right. I'm like, you know, if you want to make that like your most important stat, people on this listen to this pod know how I feel about right. that. Yeah. If you want to make your most important stat, then I'm not going to try to talk you out of it. But
the record's important to me too.
Yeah. I know. Well, so here's the thing. So next year, you know, the CBA, there's a deadline coming up for the CBA at the end of the month. It sounds like there's some progress on it and that they could get something done. And one of the things that's come out, I think Woj reported it first, was that there could be some thresholds that you have to hit to get into the awards. I don't know what it'll be. I don't know if it'll be 56 games, 54, 59. I don't know.
I like that.
But like Devin Booker, to your point, like, so he's got 7 games left. He's played 48. Yeah. The most he can play is 55.
Yeah.
You know, so that's like probably right about where the threshold's going to be. So, you know, but I know because we talked on this pod a couple, you and I, Spears, were last week. We're talking about what to do with the all NBA team as a reference to Ja Morant. Like, you're going to have to make a decision on some of these guard spots. And, you know, some people are going to look and see Booker 55 games and they might say, yeah, this guy played 74. I don't know. It's tough, but what's important is that Booker is back and playing well right now. And he's getting his superstar teammate back. So, a lot going on. Thank you, Mr. Lopez. Thank you, Mr. Spears. Thank you to Jackson, our producer, for putting it all together. And thank you to Bruce, our producer as well. Thank you for listening to the Hoop Collective podcast. We'll be back with the Tims on Friday with the straw poll. Always a good time. Take care.